Ready to become the world authority and influencer you have always wanted to be? Your ticket to freedom is positioning yourself as the go-to expert by way of your personal truth. Welcome to Promote, Profit, Publish with your host, best-selling author, platform building coach, and publisher, Juliette Clark.
Welcome to Promote, Profit, Publish. I'm your host, Juliette Clark, and really glad to have you guys listening today. Before we get started with our really terrific guest, who you can probably see if you're over on YouTube looking right now, she's waving. I wanted to remind you to go over to YouTube and follow us at or subscribe at Superbrand Publishing. Don't forget to go over and take the quiz at www.promoteprofitpublishquiz.com. Find out if it's time to talk to us about what you're doing with your book or program promotion and how to tie that all together. And if you're listening to us, go over and leave us a review, but only if you like us. If not, don't. Anyway, so today's guest is Robin Colucci, and she's been helping world-class experts write world-changing books since 2003. Before that, she built and grew and sold a personal fitness business. She's also was a journalist and worked as an acquisitions editor for an independent publishing house. Robin brings her deep hands-on knowledge of publishing and entrepreneurship to her clients whose books cover a range of topics, including business, personal development, memoir, health and fitness, science and technology, politics, women's issues, and the environment. So she's everywhere. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Juliette. It's so great to be here with you.
It's great to have you. And we're going to get real here today about books, aren't we?
Yes, we are, ma'am.
Yes. So one of the things that I talked to Robin about before she came on was why I started my company with all the entrepreneurs out there and the gurus were telling him, you have to have a book. It's essential. And like me, Robin disagrees. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I disagree partly, right? But I think it's a pretty important part because there's a lot of coaches out there and often writing coaches or book coaches who say that you have to have a book in order to have a business, right? So it's like, oh, I need a book so I can launch my business. And that is actually not true. And really, when we're talking in terms of writing a full-length book, a major undertaking, we're talking a minimum time investment of 3 months. We're talking a minimum financial investment. Well, that could be $10,000, $15,000, $30,000, $60,000, depending on how much of it you do yourself and how much help you get. And most people who are just starting a business certainly aren't going to get a book deal. So that's going to be out of pocket. And the truth is that the only people who should be writing that kind of a book are people who already have a thriving business. So you don't write a book to get a business. You write a book to grow a thriving business. And this is a big, important distinction because one of the things that I experienced, the reason I know that this advice is being passed around is how many people have filled out my application and ended up on the phone with me saying that they want to write a book so they can have a business. And I'm like, no, you need to go get clients. Like you need to go sell some stuff and test out your theories and see if what you're talking about that you think would work to help people actually works and all of those steps. And the thing that really scared me the most for these people is the fact that writing a book is a lot of work. So when you're doing it, you feel productive because you're writing. But the problem is if you're not bringing money into your business, that feeling of productivity can really put you in a bad situation because you're feeling productive, but you're not doing the things necessary to ensure that business success, which is bringing money into the business through selling your products and services.
And we've had examples of that with our company as well, where a writing coach will call us and say, you know, we're just stuck in this one area. And I'll pick up the phone and talk to the new author and find out that they've never done that thing they're telling people to do. So they're kind of writing it and learning as they go along. And one of those was JV partnerships. She got stuck on JV. She's never done one. Well, you're not really an expert. You're right. Not at that point. You should be writing a book about this.
Right, so, exactly.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, and no matter where you are in your development, you are expert on some things. But if you want to do a business, you probably know something about some aspect of it, right?
I would hope.
But it's probably not enough to fill a full-length book. Mm-hmm. And for years, I would just send people away and say, you're not ready. Go get ready. And then when your business is, I'm laughing because it's such bad advice. It's such a terrible thing to say to people. And I, when you're ready, when your business is six figures and you're ready, then come back and we can talk about a full-length book. Well, what a terrible thing to say. I always knew it was a bad thing to say, but I didn't have anything better to offer them. Go get ready. Well, if they knew how to get ready, they'd be ready when they came to me.
I think that's true. And I think it's not true, though. I think you came from a place of integrity, which I find when you do that, people will come back when they're ready. But you were the one that spoke the truth about it.
Yes, they always were very grateful that I didn't bilk them out of thousands of dollars and give them false hope. And that I felt good about. But I always felt that I left them in the gap. And I never felt good about that. But I also recognized that at the time, that was the best I could offer, was just to be in my integrity with them. So I totally agree with you there. I did come up with an alternative. So, as you know,
we're going to talk about that. So, pull that little puppy out and tell us about it.
And really, this came out of, I want to briefly first tell the background, because I think this is a cool way that this came around. So, when I was offering an online course on how to formulate your book concept and come up with an outline, and it was going to be an online group coaching program, and it was kind of pricey, right? It was $4,000 because it was going to involve a lot of live coaching calls and a lot of effort on my part as well. So I did some ads. I had 52 people apply to the program, and somehow, by some miracle, I actually had a phone conversation with every single one of them, which, as you know, from doing online marketing, is like a miracle. There's no other way to describe it. Showing up for a call that they signed up for off a Facebook ad. But that's what happened. And by the end, I had offered my program to exactly two people.
Because the others weren't ready.
Yeah.
Wow.
And one said yes. So that was a net loss. But
yeah, but you must have felt good about that, because there are so many people out there who would have just said, yes, 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 yes. They would have taken the money and they wouldn't have cared. So I have to give you kudos for that.
Turning down 200 grand was, if everybody had said yes, if I told everyone they could enter and they'd all done it. It's a definite difference. And thank you for that. But really, like, I just couldn't in good conscience allow them to sign up for that. And then almost 2 years later, I was talking with actually a former client who's also a really savvy marketer. And he said, why don't you just help them write a booklet? And I said, oh my gosh, a booklet. Yes, because no matter where you are in the development of your process, of your coaching practice, of your business, whatever it is, you know, wherever you're sharing your expertise, well, first of all, everyone needs some kind of authority piece, right? It does help. It does make a difference. The difference between being unpublished and published makes a difference. But maybe you're not ready for the full-length book. There's no reason you shouldn't have an authority piece. So here's what you asked me to show up. So here's for our YouTube people. This is the booklet. And I wrote the booklet on how to write a booklet, how to write a high-profit booklet. And it's the High Profit Book Blueprint, 7 Steps to Write and Publish a Booklet That Attracts Dream Clients and Grows Your Business. And this, I wrote for those 50 people and everyone like them as my real solution, instead of just go get ready, see you later. This is really the solution to help people get ready. Yeah.
Can you hold that back up for a minute? Because I want to make some comments here for the people who are writing. So what is so cool about this is we are all exhausted by the lead magnet thing. Robin could have easily said, here, go download my free book. And guess what? You would have printed it. You would have given her email address. She would email address. She would have sent you multiple emails. You would have printed it. You never would have read it. And here she has this piece that you can go over and order. It's very small. You have it in your hand. So it's a real thing. And I don't know about you, but with me, if I have an ebook that I downloaded, I won't read it. If I have a book in my hand, I will read it.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think that is such a cool idea for promotion as well.
I'm going to take it a step further, because not only will you read it, but you will have it in your house. Mm-hmm. This is important, because what's marketing 101 in terms of how many times somebody needs to see you before they actually buy anything from you?
A lot.
Right? At least 9 times. At least 9 touches.
I was going to say 7, but yeah.
Right? So, well, it probably was 7, but now that we have so much competing for our attention, it's 9. It'll be 90 touches in 10 years. Who knows? But here's the beautiful thing about books, which I think is the most timeless, beautiful thing about books. And that is, they are the one medium that's left where the user, in this case, the reader, has to give you 100% of their focus.
And that's really difficult in today's world with where we're at. I think that's why I'm saying about the clicks and the download and are you going to read it online, or I print them and they just sit in the corner. But what I like even better about your idea is I think I paid $7.50 to have that shipped for me. So now what you've also done in that process is you have forced someone to be interested enough to pull out a credit card.
Yes. I did not think of this idea, by the way. I don't remember who did. It was probably Dan Kennedy, because he thought of everything. It seems. But the idea here is it's a psychological flip. So the person goes from casual observer to customer. And there's a trust that's built because they provided a credit card, you made them a promise, and you fulfilled that promise. And so then the next ask is, you've already crossed the barrier of, can I trust this person to do what they said they're going to do when I gave them my credit card? And so it's a great way to not only establish your authority, but by doing the booklet, you also have, and I mean, you can really get this written and produced in like 4 to 6 weeks instead of 4 to 6 months or longer for a full length book. So that's another advantage. But then you can quickly convert, because the moment they're opting in is the moment that they're making a purchase. And so then you've completely changed the dynamics of your relationship with the people who came into your list that way. It very much is in alignment, Juliet, with what you do, right? Where you're helping people identify who are the most interested prospects.
Right, exactly. And when you look at what Robin's done here as well, about a year, 2 years ago, people were shifting over to that model where you opted in for something, you got your credit card out and you got a download. But it's the same sort of concept with that download, you never open it. This, you have it in your hand. So it is a physical thing. So I love, love, love that idea that you're doing.
And, you know, I want to add to that too, because it's not just a physical thing. Just going back to that point about it lives with you in your house. And there's something that I want to add to that, which is, where do we keep our books that we are in the process of reading or recently have read? Where in our house are they usually found?
Mine are either next to my chair in the living room or by my bed.
Right. Would it be a stretch to guess that those are two of your favorite spots in your house, like your most frequented spots?
Besides my desk,
like
yes.
The office, yeah. But the places that you go to unwind, right? The places that you go to daydream or relax or let your ideas flow, right? And so imagine your book in those places of your ideal customers. It's powerful in the fact that it's a tangible thing they can hold and that they can see when they're walking past. It's sitting there on the table next to their favorite chair. But it's so much more powerful than a download, which, as you said, it's trapped in your hard drive. As soon as they download it, they've forgotten about you. The booklet, you're with them, not only with them, but you're with them in their most intimate spaces. And you have, and when they're reading your booklet, which should take them less than an hour, because that's a reasonable ask for someone that's in a new relationship, but you have their undivided attention for an hour. Now you think about it, how many people in your life are giving you their undivided attention for an hour? No phones, no playing a game on their phone while you're trying to talk to them.
You must have kids. No.
They have me. I have to admit, I like Scrabble.
My battle's always put your phone away at the table.
I have a no phone rule at the table because of that. Exactly. Like, there's so many things competing for our attention, right? Even when we're listening to a podcast, we might be out for a run. We might be doing the dishes. So I really can't think of any other medium that still you have to give it your undivided attention. It's a gift that reader is giving you by allowing you to have their undivided attention, but it's really priceless from a marketing standpoint. Like, nobody else, you know, people are paying millions of dollars for that 30 seconds of attention on a Super Bowl ad, where 70% of the people are in the bathroom or getting a beer. They're not even watching it. Think about it for a second, right? And you could spend a little bit of money and a little bit of time in 6 weeks, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, and get this, and you have somebody's undivided attention for an hour.
Yeah. I used to.
And they're seeing you every time they walk past their bedside table or their chair.
And I have to admit, as someone who used to work on Super Bowl ads in the advertising world, I always watch the preview or the post the next day. I don't even watch the game. So there you go. You have it. Exactly. So let's talk a minute about, you said 4 to 6 weeks on this. And I hear so many people out there say, oh, I'm going to go to this workshop and I'm going to write a book in a weekend. Have you ever seen a quality book written in a weekend?
Not a full-length book, no.
Right.
Right, but I would definitely say you can write a quality booklet in 4 or 5 hours, because you don't need, like, I think my booklet is like 7,000 words.
Okay.
You don't need a long 40,000 word document to have a booklet, do its job. Like, part of what I reveal in here is I have a template that people can follow to actually write a booklet that helps not only bring them in as that $7.50 customer, but helps people want to go to the next step with you. So no, problem with trying to write a book in a weekend, and when we're talking about a full-length book, is that I think that when you're really trying to unpack, usually if somebody's writing a full-length book, let's say they have at least 10 years of solid experience in their area of expertise, and they've got layers and layers and layers of knowledge, insight, intuitions, right? Sometimes the best stuff is the things that they don't even know that they know about their work, right? Those hidden insights. All of that takes excavation. You know, you've got to get in there and dig and look for those veins of gold and figure out, what is it about my deep experience that I can bring to this conversation that will add some game-changing, life-changing, life-saving insight to my readers. And that takes an exploration. That takes some real inquiry, real honest, serious, deep inquiry. And I don't believe that that can be done in 2 days.
But it does bring up the point about, if you're going to write, you do need a writing coach. Because your idea of a book, a lot of times I call it barf a book, is you're gonna just tell them everything you know, and it doesn't come out that way. It comes out really horribly. So you do need a coach to help you with that structure and what's going on.
Yeah, I think one thing that, like, a barf a book, the first thing I thought of is the book that it seems like when you're done with it, all this playing in your ear is I, me, I, me, I, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah. I call them me monsters.
Me monster. Great. And so, yes, a good book coach can help you recognize that a book is actually a conversation, even though the author is the one delivering the content. There has to be some space for the author to acknowledge that they hear the reader on the other side. And this is why it takes real experience to write a book about your expertise, because you can predict what a lot of your readers' questions are. If you've coached enough people, you can then say to your reader, you know, you might be thinking this, or perhaps you're feeling this way. You know, this is what most of my clients tell me is their experience, or many of my clients say is their experience. And then the reader can feel seen and heard, even though technically the conversation is going one direction. There's actually lots of opportunities to make room for that conversation to be an exchange.
Yes. I don't know why all of a sudden I'm sneezing.
It's been hay fever. It's spring.
I know. I'm so allergic to cottonwoods, and I live between Little Cottonwood and Big Cottonwood Canyon. Not a good living, but it's beautiful. A meth head with good teeth anyway. So back to this though, that's why feedback is so important in that experience. So when you're talking about someone who writes a booklet that is not ready to write that full length book, that's someone who may have a minimal amount of feedback that they can share, but not like the big 200 pages of feedback, because that feedback is where you find out how people feel about going through your programs, how they perceive them. Because remember, one of the things we always run into is your brand is not what you think your brand is. It's what other people do. So it's kind of the same with a book. You have to take into consideration what is going through their head and what have they told you.
Yes, absolutely. And what are the roadblocks that show up when you're trying to help people get a result? Where do they falter? Where do they struggle? And when you can write from that awareness, then the reader feels seen. And I just want to add a little caveat to that, though, because it does matter how you say it. So I don't know about you, but I have a little bit of authority issues. So I think all entrepreneurs maybe have a little touch of like, no, I don't think I need to do it by your book all the way. So what some languaging that I found is important. So if you're going to tell people, like if you know for a fact that most of your clients have an experience, and you can bet that your ideal reader is probably having a similar experience, but you don't want to say to them, I know you must be feeling this. Because what that does on a subconscious level is it triggers their subconscious mind to push back and say, you don't know me. I know me. Don't listen to this person's arrogant. Don't listen to them, right? Because you know, your subconscious mind is trying to keep the status quo. You don't want to say anything that triggers that subconscious mind in the reader to put up a defense. So if you just make sure your wording is like, you know, maybe, I don't know what your experience has been, but a lot of my clients have had this experience. Then the subconscious mind relaxes and it actually will allow the information to get in. So there's little tricks like that that I help my clients with. It doesn't matter what you say, but how you say it is really true in book writing.
Yeah. And I'm so lost on me. I was not given the tact gene at all. It's unfortunate.
That's one of the things I love about you, though.
Well, thank you.
I love your snarkiness.
I'm very snarky. So you have an upcoming campaign leading people to the booklet. Tell us a little bit about that. How can people get a hold of you to participate?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I have a special page at robincolucci.com/booklet. And I know you're going to put the link in the podcast so people can find that. And basically, it's the exact offer that we were talking about. Free, get the booklet for free, and all you do is pay the shipping. And that is the real deal, by the way, the $7.50 shipping. Who knows how evergreen this is going to be? I'm not responsible for postal. If the U.S. Postal Service raises the fee, please do not yell at me. But
didn't they just get a bailout? So yeah, they're not raising.
but whatever the U.S. Postal Service is charging for priority mail is what you will be charged. And that doesn't even include my print costs or handling fees. So it really is just the shipping cost. And so free plus shipping. And then you get the booklet. And then you'll also be alerted to an opportunity. I have a masterclass group where if people want help writing the booklet and getting coaching on writing the booklet, there's a course, a video course, and then also live twice a month coaching calls. And something that I definitely need to point out, that it's not just like you get to come to two coaching calls because it should only take you 4 weeks to write your booklet. Like, you get to come to as many coaching calls as you need to as you're writing the booklet. So you get the support that you need to get it done. And then we also have another program where we can help people take that manuscript and get it to the marketplace, get it set up so that people can order their booklet off of their website. And also we help them set up their Amazon accounts and we help them do their Amazon bestseller launch. And so it's really, we wanted to create it to be really seamless so that you're not ever stuck in a gap again. Because, you know, that was like the pain point for me that had me create this, was I felt so badly about leaving those 50 people in the gap. So when I decided to build it, I made it so that there are no gaps. So you can have support from the moment you get the booklet all the way through publication and becoming a best-selling author on Amazon.
That's fantastic. Please give us the link again and spell Colucci.
Okay. RobinColucci.com, and that's C-O-L-U-C-C-I. Oh, and Robin with an I. RobinColucci.com/booklet.
That's fantastic. I didn't even know there was another way to spell Robin.
Well, there is. I'm just kidding. No, there is.
It's my way or the highway. You're not a real Robin unless you spell it this way.
Right. I don't want to be mean. There's a more flourished way to spell it with a Y, which has a little extra flair. And I never am opposed to flair. So it's just not what my parents did.
That's good. I can do it E-T-T-E, but then I have to tell people that I'm not French. I don't smell. I shower. I get into all these things. I shave.
Yours is the Shakespearean spelling, which is lovely.
Yeah, there's a story behind that, which is pretty hilarious. I don't actually have it in Granny Heist, but it's my name, but it never should have been my name. So I'll just leave it at that. My grandmother was delusional when she told family stories, and I was the product of that. So
I love it. I love colorful family stories, but I don't know. If we're out of time, I guess, you know.
We're not out of time. I guess I could tell you guys. So
I want the story. I'm sure your listeners want it.
So my grandmother, Lavera, was basically crazy. And I mean really like clinically crazy. And she told my mother, who was an only child, that it is a family tradition to name your child after her grandmother's. So my mother, being the dutiful child who had never really met any of my grandmother's batshit crazy family, did what she was told. I was Juliet Loretta, which that was actually cool because my other grandmother's name was really Nellie Loretta. So imagine Juliet Nellie. But it's sort of Juliet Loretta is sort of like really highfalutin princess name followed by trailer trash name. So it's a bad thing. No, I'm just kidding.
I did not think of that.
But anyway, so what happened was my grandmother's name was supposedly Juliet Elizabeth. My father always hated that my name was Juliet Loretta. And then when we cleaned out my grandmother's house after she died, we found out her name wasn't really Juliet. My dad was like, I knew I hated this name. I knew I hated it. So that's my family. And I know everybody has a crazy, whether it's Aunt Nellie or, you know, Aunt Jenny or Uncle Bob, everybody's got one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, there you go. Yes. And I did not carry on the tradition because we had a Barbara and a Mary. And I was like, yeah, I'm not naming my kids either of those. So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for stopping by. It's probably far more than you wanted to hear.
I love crazy family stories. We've got plenty of them in ours. So
we do.
I get it.
You too. Yeah.
We're the crazy Italians.
I'm sure I'm sure you are.
Everyone always knows when we're renting the house for beach week because it becomes the loudest house on the block, you know.
We're Irish. So, you know, my dad used to take out his hearing aids because he's like, you are the loudest family. I've ever seen. I don't even need my hearing aids to be around you.
I brought a boyfriend home for a family reunion, and you know, it was just like a typical family reunion, you know, and he was just kind of shrinking into the corner, and I came up to him like, "You all right?" He goes, "Why is everybody yelling?" And I'm like, "Nobody's yelling. What are you doing? You haven't heard yelling. You think this
That's
is yelling?
That's our family.
Yeah. This is talking."
And you know what? You can stay in the same room with us when nobody's drinking, but when everybody does their Irish drinking thing, forget about it. All right, you guys, thanks for stopping by. You know way too much about Robin and I now, so we'll see you next week. Thanks, Robin.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to take our Promote Profit Publish assessment and see where your skill set needs work. Go to promoteprofitpublishquiz.com. By taking the assessment, you may be eligible for a discovery session with Juliet. Remember, by building your platform right, you win, your audience wins, the crowd goes wild, and the world is a better place.